perfect set to go into this section of the book of Acts chapter 5. Remain standing, take your Bibles and turn there. Acts chapter 5 verse 33. An ugly victory is still a victory, right? And for Christians, an ugly victory is common. Now, we don't like to hear that, do we? If you remember, they had brought Peter and John and said, hey, we're going to let you go, but don't go teach anymore. And so they said they had to teach, but they still let them go. So they went to the temple and they began teaching. Now, remember, I told you they weren't obstinate. They weren't in your face with it. They weren't arrogant with it. They just simply humbly did what God had called them to do. Well, that upset the religious and the leaders. Nothing's new, right? Verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious. Now, folks, this is mad. And they plotted to kill them just for teaching. Then one in the council stood up. And watch this. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people. And he commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little bit, because that's what you call the first executive session. They kicked everybody out, and they wanted to go in and have a little powwow. Verse 35, he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered, and they came to nothing. After this man, there was this guy called Judas. He rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And so all those that were gathered, they agreed with him, verse 40, and when they had called for the apostles, and by the way, given them a good beating, did you catch that? Called for them, beat them. Then they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So beaten, they departed from the presence of the council, whining and complaining, wanting sympathy for their wounds, trying to hire Johnny Cochran. Nope, they departed from the presence of the council doing what? Now, y'all said that lame. What'd they do? Rejoice. That they were counted what? Worthy. To suffer shame for his, Jesus' name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You may be seated. Now, if you are used to an ideology that says Christianity is supposed to be good, easy, and you will always win, you've missed some of it. Yes, it is supposed to be good, right? But nowhere does it say it's going to be easy, right? Yes, you will always win, but sometimes the victory is ugly. Now, for years, and I'm just talking to us in America today, for years, American Christianity has had some type of, this is just going to be great, give your heart to Jesus, all your troubles go away, it's hunky-dory fine. Now, think about that. Every single person that is in this building or listening to this during the week, you all have struggles, right? And you and I both know that sometimes life gets tough. And as JT butted into the sermon last week, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But somehow in our spiritual journey, we struggle with that. Because we think, hey, the victory ought to come easy. And regardless of what hurdle, regardless of what obstacle, we ought to be able to just blow through that. I mean, Jesus is before us, and the Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So this ought to be a cakewalk, right? No, all you got to do is go back to the cross. Sin causes pain. True? And because of the effects of sin, there is always going to be a struggle. But don't just go blaming it all on sin, though. Satan is alive and well. True? Now, I know we forget about him. How could you forget about Satan? You ever thought about that? Satan shows up even when you don't ask him to, doesn't he? And he always shows up dressed in a different way, right? Why? Because Satan is there to seek us out, to kill, to steal, and to destroy us, and to ruin the joy that we have in Christ. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you may not be getting the full effects of what Satan wants to do, because he doesn't have to mess with you, but you got bigger problems than that. Because as Satan is real, so is hell. Now, I know there's a lot of people today that say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, we're getting enlightened now. And for all of you over the age of 80, aren't you thrilled to be alive to know that us younger ones have finally figured everything out that you couldn't? I mean, you know, hell, well, you know, we've rethought that. And really, that's just talking about, no, hell is real, right? Hell is real, and so if you don't know Jesus, Satan's not going to mess with you the same way, but you still got to deal with hell. Because you're not going to get a get-out-of-hell-free card. You say, well, wait a minute. If I wait to that last moment on my deathbed, if I wait, well, who guaranteed you a deathbed? Have you ever thought about that? Who guaranteed you a deathbed? No one in here is guaranteed a deathbed. I mean, you could be walking down the road, drop dead, boom, gone, no bed. Isn't it amazing what common sense teaches us? I mean, somebody could run over you. Have you driven lately? Gone. God forbid somebody take you out with a bullet or a weapon. No one's guaranteed that you're going to get to go to a hospital or to your house, lay on a bed before you die, and get everything right. You're not guaranteed that. And listen, if you think, hey, you know what, I'm just going to push the odds in that, then you ought to be playing the lottery, because the odds of winning the lottery are better than they are at you getting a deathbed. Now, I did not justify playing the lottery, okay? Man, what's wrong with Tim? He's already talking about, he must want that building paid off. No, I didn't say that. Man. You're not guaranteed anything, right? So then how do we act? How do we respond when the going gets tough? You say, well, I can't see a path for victory. Now, you know, we're Americans. We deserve to be able to see every little step we're going to take, right? No. And listen, if you think any politician that might happen to get the nominee and might happen to win the vote and might happen to get elected by the Electoral College is going to straighten this mess out, you and I need to talk. Nothing is guaranteed except, the Bible specifically says a couple of things. Number one, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to play with. You better work it out. You better make sure that what you say you have, that it's real. The other verse that keeps popping up into my head is, you got to count the cost. It will cost you to follow Jesus Christ. Now, y'all remember the days when pizza and Pepsi were the number one youth bait in the world? How many of you went to a church event and they enticed you with free pizza, and maybe it wasn't Pepsi, maybe it was Coke or whatever, but man, you told your friends, hey, come get some pizza. How many of you did that? Johnny's hands up. I sold more pizzas for more pizza companies when I was a youth guy than I really should have. And we sort of had this idea, we do it with children. We even do it with adults. You know, come get in on this because it's going to be good. It's not going to cost you anything. And yet the very word of God says, check out your salvation with fear and trembling, and you better count the cost, because following Jesus will cost you. We forget about that. If you look at the world today, you and I better start going back and doing that simple thing of reading the Bible plain and simple, because it is going to cost us. Ask those Christians in other countries who are being slaughtered for one reason and one reason only: they profess Jesus Christ. Ask them about the cost. Ask them about the life that they live. And you say, but we're not supposed to live that way here. Nobody guaranteed that either, right? Now that you're all depressed, now think about it. That shouldn't depress us, though, should it? Because, you know, if you're reading the Bible, every single person that followed Jesus Christ paid a price. Every single person that had a relationship with Jesus Christ had the struggles. So I'm going to give you a couple simple things today that should help you, that should be reminders that no matter what you are going through, don't forget. First of all, we've always been threatened, so don't think that this is something new nor unfair. Christians have always been threatened. Maybe not in this country, but that day has arrived. And don't think that that's unfair. You say, well, it's not right. Well, yeah, we know it's right. Satan's never done what's right. Right? So, y'all catch that one? Satan's never done what's right. So how can we go around saying, but wait a minute, this isn't fair? Listen, if your faith in Jesus Christ needs a government to back it up, you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? If your faith needs a whole bunch of other people to stand with you before your faith becomes real, you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. There have always been threats against Christians. So here's Peter and John. All they were doing is doing what God told them to do. Don't forget, they were not being arrogant. And even after they were told, you say, well, they were disobedient. They were disobedient to man, but the only reason why their disobedience in this particular passage was the right disobedience is because if they had followed man, they would have had to rejected God. If they had followed what man wanted them to do, then they could not do what God wanted them to do. But they didn't get all super spiritual about it. They just went back to the temple and they kept on teaching, and people kept flocking to the temple. Unlike today, we find any excuse not to go to church. Did you know in my lifetime, the average church attendance by Christians has gone from at least 4 Sunday mornings a month and maybe 2 Sunday nights a month and Wednesday night, except for those that were working. Now it's dropped down to the average Christian shows up at church less than 2 times a month. Think about that. When God was moving, Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, was teaching. John was praying. And John had to have helped some, but evidently it wasn't much because he's not mentioned as far as his teaching stuff. People showed up because they knew God was working. Our problem is, you say, well, God's not working. Really? Maybe you're not looking for it. Maybe you're not desperate for it. And instead, we want that easy believism, and then when it gets a little bit tough, oh, no, that's not fair. It's not supposed to be that way. Read your Bible. It's been that way from the beginning. So don't let people trap you into that thought, well, man, if I'm struggling, that's not fair. Life is going to throw you curveballs, And it may not make sense. You may not think it's fair, but guess what? That's why you need Jesus. Right? If everything was great, you wouldn't need him. Now let's get really good. Because life's going to throw you curveballs, that's why even Baptists need the Holy Spirit. Hello! Done got personal. You better get used to the reality of needing the Holy Spirit, not only to comfort you, but to teach you, but to encourage you, to motivate you, to give you the strength you need to keep going when it gets tough. Peter and John, they just kept going. Now, number two, before I give you the answer on the screen, number two, take it back off. There you go, guys. Don't help them cheat. Number two is an incredible story. The Pharisee, these guys are wanting to kill Peter and John. And a Pharisee steps up and he historically recounts some things that had happened in the past. In other words, he took the emotion out of it and he said, let's just look at this. He said, you know, there was one guy and man, he stood up, people started following him, but he died and they didn't follow him anymore and they sort of went their way. And then there was another guy and same thing happened and it went away. But then he says something. He says, now listen, keep away, verse 38, from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. Now think about that. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Now, when you read that statement, if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, don't forget who said this, a Pharisee. Don't forget that this was a guy who was not legitimate in his daily walk with Christ, who liked to play the game and have it all look good, but deep down in it wasn't. And yet he says, if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. Now here comes the answer to number two. If you are with God, he, God, will accomplish his will. That's a simple truth. If you're walking with God, no matter what hits you, no matter what comes your way, you need to know, very simple, God's will is going to be done. Nothing can change that. Right? Right? Okay, we still don't believe it. Right? You can't stop God. No one else can stop God. The mob can't stop God. The multitude can't stop God. Governments can't stop God. No one can stop God. Why? Because he's God, right? Now, how big is God?
Big.
There's a song, this takes Beth, I don't even remember when this one was written. He's a big, big God. Something Play in My Backyard. Zach, you know that one? Wow, cool. You're listening to retro, man. That's good. Or throwback, as it's called now. He's a big, big God. And we forget that, don't we? When things start happening, we say, oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, this is going to keep what God wanted to do. This is going to... No, it's not going to stop God from doing anything. What might have to happen is you and I might have to get a little dirty. You and I might have to do like Peter and John and take a little beating. You and I might get bruised. You and I might get made fun of. You and I might get yelled at. You and I might be called really bad names. You and I might not make the social events. You and I may not get on anybody's Christmas card list. You and I may even get rejected on social media, God forbid. And you want to know what's really bad? Is when you get blocked on social media. Man, the world is over with. Nothing can stop the will of God. Nothing. These guys were beaten. I mean, they brought them back in to tell them, hey, we're going to let you go. But no, notice, they were commanded to not go and speak again. But before that, they got beaten. And there's nothing written. You want to talk about a God that doesn't care? In the Bible, he didn't even say, pray for these guys. They got beaten. You know, it's amazing that we forget not only how big is God, but number three, we're called to suffer for the cause of Christ. And we forget that, don't we? These guys didn't protest. These guys didn't wave the flag and say, oh, no, these guys took the beating and went back and did what they're supposed to do. You're talking about turning the other cheek. You say, well, who threw the first punch? Because if somebody else throws the first punch, then you can fire back, right? That's the way it worked on my playground. Y'all remember that as a child? All right, come on. Even the ladies, how many of you threw a punch only because someone else did? Raise your hand. Okay, we got a few ladies. Yeah. Really? Cassandra? No. Oh, no. We're not talking about Reuben. We're talking about other people, okay? I knew Jana did. That was an easy one. And Rains is sitting over there. I'm just being spiritual. Did you raise your hand? Okay. We're all called to suffer, are we not? Did you hear what I just said? We are all called to suffer, are we not? So don't whine about it. Don't think you deserve a special place in heaven because you're suffering. Because heaven is the special place you get because of the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. And our suffering here on earth is nothing compared to that which is to come. And I know it hurts. And I know you and I walk around in life and we say, but should it be this hard? Think back to the cross. Think back to the cross. How hard was the cross? It's amazing how we've prettied that whole thing up. And we do it. If you ever look at the pictures of Jesus, have you ever studied the pictures of Jesus? Anybody? I guess that's just a minister thing. I don't know. But I've seen so many pictures of Jesus already in my lifetime. And you know what? None of them look like Jesus. Because Jesus would not have made the cover of GQ. He was not the greatest looking man that ever walked on the face of the earth. He was a carpenter. He was rugged. He was scruffy. He actually had color to his skin. He was not American, by the way. Y'all knew that, right? And his life was anything but easy. He suffered his entire life. And the suffering increased as the years went by, to the point of the cross where he suffered beyond what anyone is capable of doing. And he willingly did it. You can't forget that we are called to suffer for the cause of Christ. You can't forget that. They, verse 41, departed from the presence of the council, literally rejoicing. Now listen, they weren't sitting around a fire singing Kumbaya. Okay? And for those of you that don't get clapping in church, and I know we're getting better at it. It takes a lot for Baptists to do that. I get that. We're getting better at it. The rejoicing that they were doing was big time rejoicing. They understood what was happening. They were not wrestling with man. They were fighting against the principalities and the rulers of the world. They understood that it was a spiritual fight. And they understood that even though they were beaten, they did not get killed, which meant God still had more for them to do. So every morning when you wake up, regardless of what hurts, regardless of how long it takes to get whatever body part to move, just be thankful that you woke up, because you know what that means? God still has something for you to do. Every moment. You say, but it hurts and I shouldn't have to suffer. Don't say that, because even Jesus, well, he was Jesus. Okay, what about the rest of the people in the Bible? They all suffered. Remember I gave you that verse a while ago? They had to count the cost. They understood that. Philippians 1:29 is coming up on the screen. Watch this verse. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I want you to write that reference down. Philippians 1:29. It's not only been granted to believe, but to suffer. Luke 14:33, jot that down. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You say, well, it's my stuff and I shouldn't have to lose anything just so Jesus' will can be done. Really? We're supposed to lose it all so that his will can be done. And when you look at that verse in Luke, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Folks, that's scary. Because we've grown up in this idea that if you'll just follow Jesus, just trust him, it's going to be easy. And he'll get you through and it's not going to hurt. And there's not going to be any pain. But then when those times come, we panic. You all have heard, and I didn't ask permission to do this, so if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. You know that David, our chairman of deacons, has leukemia. They found it early. 30% of his blood cells have been affected. They found it because he was having another problem, and thank God in the ER they ran the right blood test. And this popped up. Had nothing to do with what he was having, what was going on. But at 30%, it's very treatable, except they're blasting him right now with a major chemo called Red Devil. You don't drink that for Kool-Aid, I promise you. It's a heavy-duty stuff. And when they texted me and told me what was going on at the doctor's office on Wednesday, and I went back to 3 days prior when Lauren had taken David to complete some pharmacy requirements to maintain his license, and I said, how are you? And she said, well, I'm just getting prepared for what's next. She didn't know what was coming, but it wasn't like, I don't want anything else. Well, yeah, we know we don't want anything else, but that wasn't the first thought that she had. The first thought was, I need to make sure I'm ready to handle whatever is next. And when you do that, then when the ugly stuff comes, your first response isn't to whine about it. Your second response isn't to look for somebody to give you a badge of honor for doing it. Your first response is to say, okay, now I know why I got ready, because here comes another test. Here comes another obstacle. Here comes another struggle. And that's okay, because I know the Bible says very clearly, Paul wrote it in Romans, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? To reach the lost. We sang about that. To share Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. That's why we have to count the cost. That's why we have to look at life and say, hey, you know what? I've been called to struggle. I've been called to suffer. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, I've had more than my fair share. Let somebody else do it. You may discover that what you've had is not so bad. True? So how do we handle this? Simple little understanding. Sometimes victories are ugly. But you know what? I said it when I opened up. A victory is still a victory. Right? And if you get the victory, that means you haven't lost. It may be ugly and you may look like you've lost, You may feel like you've lost, but if you get the victory, you've won. Now here's the question. Do you approach your struggles the way Peter and John did? Nothing was fair. No arrogance in their response. Just simple faith, simple trust, simple obedience. And even when they got beaten, what did they do? They rejoiced. Folks, there's going to be clapping in heaven. Amen? There's not going to be food, Carrie, but there's going to be clapping. There's not going to be preaching in heaven, but there'll be music, right? How do you handle your struggles? Do you understand we're called to suffer? Do you understand that? Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt and that you shouldn't say when it hurts. Because you know, in fact, Beth alluded to this earlier. This is an incredible group. When people hurt, we rally around, don't we? And this is a very authentic group, not trying to hide anything, just living life. And that's what I love about it. We come from all different types of backgrounds and demographics, and yet God just sort of put us together as a unique little family. Because he knows we're going to need each other. Because as we've been called to suffer, remember the number one reason he sent the Holy Spirit? He called him that when he said he was coming. He said, I've got to leave so that the Comforter can come. You wouldn't need a Comforter if there weren't going to be suffering in our future. Amen? So before we even know what it is, what did God do? Gave us the answer. He gave us the answer. Your victory may be ugly, but it's still a victory. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you are wrestling with a victory right now. And you don't like the way that victory looks, but this morning God's tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, it's still a victory. Don't whine about it. Don't complain about it. Suffer. Suffer well. Finish strong. Because remember, God's got you. As Peter and John understood, nothing could take them out of the hand of God. Some of you this morning just need to come kneel here at the altar and say, God, I'm laying down my struggles. I'm just laying them down and I'm saying, God, here they are. And I'm not going to whine about it anymore. I'm not going to get all dramatic about it. I'm just going to endure, and I can't wait to see the victory that you have for me. You may have to pray that a few times, because that's a whole lot easier to say than it is to actually do. But when you do it, you'll discover something that I can't even explain. The power of God will fill your life. And you'll get it. You won't be able to explain it either. You'll just know it happens because God's got you. Some of you are struggling. You have no hope. You can't go to that place where hope is found because you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not even talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about what church you've been to or how many you've been to. I'm talking about you and Jesus having a relationship together. That's why Jesus suffered, so that you could have that relationship. His death, burial, and resurrection was the price of our sin that he willingly chose to go to so that you and I could enter into that relationship.